Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. It is NFL draft week. The wait is almost over. Pretty soon, we are going to have landing spots for all of our favorite incoming rookies in this 2026 class, and that is what we are here to do today. It's your boy Herms. It's your boy Tyler O. We're going to go back and forth and talk about some ideal landing spots for some running backs and some receivers in this class. It is going to be an action-packed show. We're going to get into a lot of analysis, a lot of different fun stuff. But before we get into that, of course, Tyler, how are you doing? Are you getting excited for this NFL draft?
Dude, I'm very excited. A lot of content, really grinding the content minds, the tape, spreadsheets this offseason, diving deep into this class for FTN and the subscribers. Got some picks. I think I'm almost like more excited for like my rookie drafts in my dynasty leagues because like the NFL draft is cool. I love it. I'll be watching it. I got my time ready to go. I'll be ready to live tweet the content with FTN on Thursday. Going back, seeing some family this weekend. So being able to watch day two and day three with my brothers and friends back in Michigan. Oh. Excited for that. But more importantly, man, I don't know about you, but like half of my dynasty leagues were drafted. We're drafted on Sunday, Monday. Like we're ready to roll. The clock is starting. I mean, it's we do like a 24-hour clock, you know, because we're not in a rush. But for me, it's like you're able to draft. Like this is what it's all about. You can always play best ball, and I do like best ball, but there's just something about your rookie drafts and like your home leagues or your big dynasty leagues that feels good. It feels like you're back into it. You're over that hump, let's say, at the start of the year where it's like the Super Bowl's over. And on, you know, I like the combine. I like the Senior Bowl. You know, I like talking about rookies, but like the actual draft and the actual draft of the rookies is good stuff, man. Football in my mind is really officially back because we'll be drafting some meaningful rookies in the rookie drafts upcoming, man. So I'm thrilled, excited, ready to lock in.
It is going to be very fun. And especially if these players land in spots on rosters that are going to give them some stellar fantasy opportunities. We love to see guys go in places where they're going to get used, the scheme fits make sense, and everything. And again, to reiterate, that's what we're doing here today. We're going to start with a discussion on the running backs in the back half. We're going to get into some of these pass catchers. We are both working on articles about these landing spots that are going to be out on ftnfantasy.com. By the time that you are hearing this podcast, actually, my running back article will be out. So if you want to see some of the stuff that we don't cover in today's episode, you can go over to the website and check that out. It's going to be a blast. But without further ado, let's just dive in. When I was thinking about the running back landing spots across the league, I tried really hard to blend what good scheme fits would be and also, obviously, teams that just need running backs on their depth chart. Obviously, there are a lot of teams that, you know, maybe run a certain system that would be great for a player like, I don't know, Emmett Johnson out of Nebraska or something. But if they already have a bunch of running backs on the roster, we're probably not going to be looking to send him to that team. But I was crunching it out. I was looking at some different things, and I think I found some cool spots for teams that could really just use any help whatsoever. So before we even get into the specific first player that we have, I would say, just based off of the vibes and the research that I did, the teams that could really use running back help most, in my perspective, are like number one, the Seattle Seahawks, because you lose Ken Walker in free agency. Zach Charbonnet tears one of his major ligaments in the playoff run last year. And currently, Emmanuel Wilson, the former backup with the Green Bay Packers, is the top guy healthy on that depth chart. They're going to have to add to this backfield if they're going to go out and defend that Super Bowl that they just won. And the team that I thought probably had the second biggest need, just from looking at it after free agency and an article I came out with back in March for the site, I still think the Minnesota Vikings could use a lot of help. Aaron Jones is getting old. Jordan Mason only has 1 year left on his contract, and neither of those dudes are particularly fast. They don't have like a huge speed element to really change pace. And if they're going to try and be competitive in a very tough NFC North, I think it would really benefit them to go after at least one of these running backs with one of their picks. I do believe they have two third rounders. available to them. So maybe something later on day two could be pretty cool from there. But outside of those two, are there any teams that you think could really, really use a running back that I didn't mention?
It's tough to say. Let's go over yours one more time for me, Herms. What were the teams you picked? I'm going to mark them off my brain.
The two biggest by far, Seattle Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings.
You know, I'm looking through, and I definitely do believe that the Commanders need a running back pretty badly. I will get to it. It might make it difficult, but I just truly do not believe that Rashad White and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt is a real serious running back room. Like, I refuse to believe that that is a running back room that a team that's like, yeah, they were 5-12 last year, but they made a playoff run the year before. Injuries really hurt them last year. And I that is not a serious running back room that's going to come out here and actually do some work, right? That's just not happening, in my opinion. So pretty thing the Commanders need to do it, but it does kind of make it difficult if I'm being honest here. I think the other one that kind of came out of me is more of like a sleeper one. I believe that'd probably be like the Packers. Like Josh Jacobs is pretty much the only guy there, and he's getting older and he's kind of getting hurt. That name was one of the ones that really popped up for me. I'm trying to think of like anything else out there. The Titans obviously have loved being mocked to him all the time, but like, I think they're okay. Like, I do think Pollard and Spears is a better running back room than Rashad White and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, for example. But I think you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, the Seahawks are one of the teams that need a running back. And I don't think they got it in free agency. So big on that one. And the Vikings probably in, I wouldn't have number two terms, but they're definitely like in the top five of, they need to address this sooner than later, because the future running back is not on that roster.
It could be a big problem for them. Maybe they will end up with somebody in this little exercise that we're doing. But we start first with the big name, Jeremiah Love, out of Notre Dame. By far and away, the RB1 in this class. Like you had mentioned, a lot of people are mocking him to the Tennessee Titans. And I do think that that actually would be a pretty good landing spot for him, just especially based on the fact that when he was at Notre Dame, they did a lot of stuff working with inside zone and being able to give him opportunities to hit these holes, get out in space, and use his speed to his advantage. But I just can't get behind the idea of the Titans this early into a rebuild taking a running back at fourth overall. So even though it makes sense, and even though I grinded some of the numbers from ftnfantasy.com, our charting team has a wonderful database full of all sorts of tendencies. You can see the rate at which teams use inside zone or outside zone or man/gap concepts and all that stuff. So I tried to blend all that information together and go based off of scheme fit and realistic. The Titans weren't very realistic to me, but the team that does pick high enough in the draft to potentially take Jeremiah Love that would actually be a pretty decent scheme fit is the New York Giants. I know that people aren't thrilled about the concept of Matt Nagy being the offensive coordinator there. Mixed bag of success with his time in Kansas City, rolling with the Chiefs, but a lot of the numbers really do back it up. From 2023 through 2025, KC ran inside zone concepts at the 13th highest rate league-wide, and the 11th highest just last season alone. It would make a lot of sense for what Love did in college. And there's also a reason why Kansas City itself was such a popular landing spot for Love potentially before free agency went down and stuff. Anyway, what Matt Nagy did there did kind of make a lot of sense for a player like that. And now he's going to be going to the Giants. We like Cam Scataboo. He was pretty fun last year, but he's a fourth round rookie. There wasn't a ton invested into him. I think that Jeremiah Love would be a pretty cool player to land in this situation. And I think he would probably end up seizing a huge workload and become a big fantasy relevant guy right away. Do you agree with that one? Or do you think that despite all of the nonsense that could be associated with it, the Titans just say YOLO and go for Love at four anyway?
I mean, I think the odds would state that the Titans go for YOLO, but I really hope they don't. Not just for Love's sake and fantasy sake, but because the Titans have a lot of holes to fill, and I don't think they need to be going after the running back. I love the Giants. I think they're picking now at 5-10, which kind of gives them a little bit more wiggle room if they do want to pull it. I think what you mentioned about Scataboo is important because Scataboo and Tracy, in my opinion, are both replaceable level talent. I think they're solid running backs. I think they're good depth pieces. but neither one of them can hold a candle to the talent and, you know, as far as being a difference maker that Love is. So, man, I think it's a good one. I definitely, like, if there's a way that I could bet, I mean, I'm pretty sure there is a way, but, like, I would bet that Love either goes to the Giants at 5 or the Commanders at 7 over, you know, over the Titans at 4 or anything else. So I love that call. I think it makes a lot of sense. It would probably turn some heads. It would really shake things up, Herms, but I'd love to see it. Jackson Dart with Love.
Dude, get him as many weapons as possible. And, like, look, it doesn't preclude them from picking up a receiver with one of their other picks later either. Like, the Giants are in such a great opportunity to continue to build around this quarterback. He might as well strike while the iron's hot. I think it could be pretty fun, too. Hopefully that ends up happening. We'll have to see by the time that we get to Thursday if that unfolds. But when it comes to those landing spots that we talked about a little bit toward the beginning, my solution for the Seattle Seahawks is Mike Washington Jr. He is a big dude. Seattle likes to have big dudes at running back. Even after Pete Carroll moved on following the 2023 season, the new regime kind of kept with a lot of those same philosophies, a sort of ethos or whatever. And I think about Seahawks running backs like Marshawn Lynch and Chris Carson. Even Zach Charbonnet is a pretty big dude doing his whole thing. But he is pretty good at doing a lot of the grinding stuff, being able to be down there for power stuff. So getting somebody who is, you know, similarly big, but a bit more of a speed complement to kind of replace Walker made a lot of sense to me. And Mike Washington is that dude. He is huge. He ran that 4.33 second 40 yard time. And because he has those fumble issues that people talk about a lot from his college days and not necessarily being somebody that you're feeling great about with ball security through heavy traffic and stuff, why not stick him in a scheme that is more of an outside zone that lets him kind of attack things more laterally? That was definitely the way that he made a lot of his big impressions to me when I was watching him down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And Seattle runs outside zone quite a lot. They did it plenty during Clint Kubiak's time last year. They ran it at the sixth highest rate. And the guy replacing him is a former San Francisco 49ers run game coordinator, Brian Fleury. And as we know, the Niners are huge on the outside zone thing. So I think that would make a lot of sense. And my other solution for the other team that I mentioned, the Vikings, is Jadarian Price. Kind of like I was saying before about just not having that sort of speed element to go with Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, it would make a lot of sense. The scheme that they run is also pretty good with integrating some zone stuff that Price is going to be familiar with during his time at Notre Dame. And I think he will just add that extra zip that would be really nice for them. Any big thoughts on those two, or you with?
I'm with you, because the thing is Jadarian Price, I feel like, has been mocked by, like, every single person in the world to 32 to the Seahawks in the first round. At this point in time, it's just such a popular pick that I got to go the other direction and say, hey, Love's going to be the only running back we're going to see in the first. The Seahawks taking Washington at 64 overall makes a ton of sense. It's about where he probably should go, like, end of the second. You know, to me, it makes sense. 64 is really on par with where I see him kind of falling within the whole picture of this whole class. So I believe the Seahawks are in a position to either trade out of 32 and have somebody move in, maybe take somebody like Ty Simpson where they can lock in a fifth-year contract. I don't know, whatever they want to do. But I definitely think that with that second pick, Mike Washington is absolutely in play. Who's to say he could go there at 96 as well? The Vikings, probably not picking a running back there at 18, but they do have the 49th and the 82nd pick. It would make sense to see Jadarian Price sitting there around that 49 pick. That's roughly, you know, I see him as like a fringe top 50 player in this draft. So yeah. I think both those do make a ton of sense. I think the only, you know, kind of, I don't know, pushback or what I would think of is, you know, the top of the second is a spot where some of those teams that need running backs are at. We pointed out that the Commanders don't have a second round pick. Very unfortunate. But I do think that is a spot where like the Titans could take a swing at whatever running back they have second on their board, kind of kick off the second round there. And that could be Jadarian Price or Mike Washington, whoever they might need, because that's definitely, you know, I wouldn't say it's a high need, but definitely a somewhat of a need for them. But those are two landing spots that I think make a ton of sense. Love the stats and research behind it, as always, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And before we get into our break, I do have two more that I just want to throw at you for funsies, just because I thought about them and I thought that would be pretty cool. Jonah Coleman is somebody that gets a lot of talk coming out of University of Washington. They did a lot of zone stuff, and he is the type of dude that uses the fact that he has a very stout frame in his favor. He's not necessarily using his body to go out there and punish dudes, but his size does allow him to absorb a lot of contact and makes it very hard for people to bring him down. So I think kind of looking for teams that operate in a very similar way that could use somebody who has a little bit larger of a body, the Indianapolis Colts make a lot of sense. And I know that Jonathan Taylor is the workhorse guy. He averaged 21.7 touches per game last year, which was the second highest average workload in the league in 2025. Probably not going to be a day one role available for him, but the Colts operate inside zone at the second highest rate since 2023 when Shane Steichen came to the team, and Jonathan Taylor only has one more year on that contract extension that he signed with the Colts a couple of years ago. So they could kind of solve for a future issue by taking their running back now. But the one that I really, really want to pick your brain about, especially the Detroit Lions, popped up as a team that I was like, dude, they could use somebody. Isaiah Pacheco being signed on a pretty cheap one-year deal. I don't think the money they're giving him necessarily implies that he is just guaranteed the sort of knuckles spot behind Sonic in Jahmyr Gibbs. And I really, really think, based on what Dan Campbell wants out of his running backs, especially dudes that can go out there and get it, fight for tough yards, and replacing veteran David Montgomery, who was shipped off to the Houston Texans earlier this offseason, that Catron Allen from Penn State would just make a lot of sense as a complimentary hammer. I think it would be pretty cool. What do you think about those two, but especially the Catron Allen one? Because I know, as a Lions fan, you've probably thought about this backfield.
Yeah, I mean, Pacheco is really just a body, warm body that's kind of holding a spot, and Gibbs is going to get a ton of work. But at the end of the day, I don't want Gibbs taking 80% of the snaps. I really don't. I want him to rest at least a little bit, like 70% would be pretty ideal. And I don't necessarily think that Pacheco is much of a difference maker out there on the snaps that he's there. So I love the Catron Allen call out there. I think it's a really interesting one that I haven't really thought of. But Catron Allen is likely going to be a day three pick. The Lions don't have a third round pick, so that's out. But they do have multiple, if 2 fourths and 2 fifths, which would really put them in that range to move on Catron Allen. So Herms, it's not a player I've thought of in a Lions jersey, but can't say that I don't like it.
Hell yeah, my dude. A lot of fun ones. And you know, there are some other ones that we're not going to talk about in the pod today, but again, it's going to be a whole article, ftnfantasy.com. You can go check out the other ones. But in the second half of the show, we are going to turn it over to Tyler so we can talk about some of these pass catchers, where they could land, what would be super cool for real life and fantasy football. Please don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. Hey everyone, C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the NoVig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right. Unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to NoVig.us or download the NoVig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the NoVig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for NoVig.
America's number one sports prediction market.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for sticking around for the remainder of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler Rowe. And now we are going to be talking about some awesome ideal landing spots for the 2026 class of rookie wide receivers. We have seen a lot of rookie pass catchers come into the league and immediately become fantasy difference makers. It's a pretty talented class. A lot of players that we have talked about over the course of the past several episodes, whether it was our first round mock draft we did last week or just the player rankings that we did in those discussions from a few weeks ago. But Tyler, I want to hear from you. What maybe some of the big just landing spots in general for wide receivers are that you have in mind? And then, you know, whatever players you want to mention specifically, the floor is yours.
Certainly. So two teams that I think are going to take a wide receiver early on draft day that I would not call an ideal landing spot. That's going to be the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. I would say they're both odds on favorites to leave the first round with a wide receiver, pretty dang close to it. So I think they're both picking twice too. So it's like, I really think a wide receiver is going to end up going to those guys, but I would not call that an ideal landing spot. This is a conversation about ideal landing spots. So just got to get that out of the way. So who's realistically, you know, in a position, I think, to grab one of these, let's say top three. We can get to like my number four and five. I think it's worth it. And those ideal landing spots, one would be the Giants. They're picking at 5 and 10. They have Jackson Dart. If this is your first time tuning in, we love Jackson Dart on this podcast, and they need somebody besides neighbors. So to me, it's the Giants there, no doubt. I think the Commanders, it's interesting because the Commanders don't have a lot of capital, but like they clearly need some help outside of Terry McLaurin, and Jane Daniels is a very good quarterback. I would also put the Kansas City Chiefs at 9 as a place where I would consider a great landing spot. I am thinking that overall people are pretty far down on Mahomes right now, and for that reason, I don't really totally get it because he was like a top quarterback before he got hurt last year, and they need a little bit of help there as well. I think the last one that could make some sense is going to be the New Orleans Saints. Probably the quarterback position isn't shored up as much, but I think Shuck is good. And Olave, while he's a good wide receiver, he's the only show in town. And there's been some steam lately around the Saints and adding a wide receiver. So those are kind of like some of the more ideal landing spots for me. But let's just jump into the players here. So I think when I think of ideal landing spots, first thing that's going to be is I would probably say Jordan Tyson goes number 9 to the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Ooh. I think he complements Rashee Rice well as a vertical threat. He can stretch the field. He can go underneath. Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, is still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. He gets a big play weapon here on the perimeter. He's really lacked that, in my opinion. Like, they tried to do that with Worthy, and it just didn't really turn out. He's just a guy. And George Tyson's my number one wide receiver here. I've talked to a lot, but he creates separation that's underrated. He runs great routes. He blocks. To me, he is the number one wide receiver in this class. At 9, that doesn't necessarily mean that he would be the first one off the board. But when I think about ideal landing spots, Jordan Tyson to the Chiefs would be at the top. If I had to pick like a second one, it would probably be the Giants with Jackson Dart there at like 10. But I would probably say if I'm like, hey, what's the most ideal spot here? It's going to be playing with Mahomes. They got a hole in the outside. Who's my favorite wide receiver? Jordan Tyson. Thoughts on that one, Herbs?
I think it would be really cool, and I definitely have thought about them as a team that could take receiver, if not with their first pick. I do believe they have a second pick later in the first round, and Rashee Rice, I think this is his last year under contract before his rookie deal runs up. Who knows what the future is going to hold with him there, so being able to get somebody who could be a big replacement for whatever that, you know, target share, obviously vacated targets and stuff aren't real or whatever. We're not going to get into a huge discussion about, you know, the math of that right now, but still having somebody come in to replace a very impact receiver like that, or at least for the time being, serve in a complementary role makes a lot of sense. And Tyson, to your point, I think is the guy who has the flexibility to be able to do both things potentially. So I am here for that 10 out of 10.
Carnell Tate going to the Commanders at 7 would be ideal. Now, I do think it's a little bit of a stretch. But I'm here for it. To me, it would be an ideal landing spot. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, I think, is people forgot, but he's one of the more talented up-and-coming wide quarterbacks in the NFL. He needs wide receiver help outside of Terry McLaurin, who, you know, he's getting, I think he's 30 this year, man, age 30 season with Terry, and there's literally nothing behind him. They need a wide receiver who can, you know, play with Terry McLaurin, pick up chunk yardage. And to me, that is what Carnell Tate does well. You know, he's not a burner. I guess maybe Terry's not at this point in time either. But he lives in the intermediate zones, reads coverages quickly. I just think he's a good fit there along with Terry and has the talent. I don't necessarily think it's the smartest decision for the Commanders to go wide receiver at 7. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, we're talking ideal landing spot. So I would say Carnell Tate going to the Commanders at 7 would be pretty ideal for me.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and I try my hardest not to do the helmet scouty thing, but when I think about like what the Commanders could really use and the fact that their number one guy right now is a former Ohio State receiver that a lot of people really like that could be an alpha, but we're not super sold on being an alpha, that's also Carnell Tate. So I think just on vibes alone, that marriage definitely works and solves for a long-term replacement for McLaurin. I think it would be pretty cool. I kind of hope they do it. I know that they do need a lot of defensive help. They could do that with that early pick. But if they go offense, Carnell Tate would be absolutely incredible.
Next up, Mekhi Lemon. I think he stays in L.A. Rams would be my ideal landing spot for Mekhi Lemon. I don't think I think Stafford's got 2 years, not 1 year left. Davante Adams is definitely getting older. I think Puka's fine, but obviously there's a couple, let's call them like yellow flags that have been popping up with him recently. You know, he's just one of those guys where I like Mekhi Lemon a lot. I think he would fit there extremely well with how, you know, he fits the route running, doesn't waste a single step, accelerates easily through his breaks, just polished footwork, natural wide receiver, the kind of that I think Stafford would just turn into a great possession wide receiver there. So for me, I might be a little on the short term because Stafford probably won't be playing there in 2028. But man, I'm telling you right now, I think people are underselling what a third wide receiver of this caliber could do with the Rams for fantasy.
Well, definitely. You know, Davante Adams is not getting any younger. And if they don't end up keeping Puka around long term for, you know, whatever reasons, we're not going to get into, you know, all those discussions that we could with him and the off-field stuff. But if they end up with a need, having a guy that can really attack horizontally and make things happen that way, that's Mekhi Lemon to a T. I think it's a perfect fit. I think it would be super cool. I would be very excited if that happened.
Next wide receiver up here, and this isn't in order, but it's the one that came up on my list. Omar Cooper Jr., I think he's a near lock in the first round here. To me, I would be interested in seeing Omar Cooper Jr. go to the Vikings. The Vikings hold the 18th pick, and I think what we're kind of looking at here is Jordan Addison might be reaching his final season with the Vikings. It's not being talked about a ton right now, but they could be looking for their replacement in 2027. It hasn't been... You know, shout out Addison where he's from, but, you know, at the same time, it hasn't been perfect. You know, his stop there in Minnesota hasn't been perfect. It definitely has had a couple speed bumps, and they could be looking to just, like, rip and replace, and I think Omar Cooper would fit there really well. You know, speed, again, was verified at the combine. You know, up-tempo concepts, crossing routes, he gets to work alongside Jay Jeff and be the number two there, which I think is, like, you know, kind of the slot is his home, which, you know, it could work well, but I think anyone's honest. I mean, I could name any wide receiver and say, yeah, he'll work well paired with JJ. I think it's just how good Justin Jefferson is. But kind of a maybe a little bit darker horse there, but I do believe in the offense, and I do believe in a Kyler resurgence. And Omar Cooper to the Vikings, and I think this is the kind of range we'd see him. You know, it's tough because I have to kind of avoid, like avoiding the Jets because I have no interest in them going there. But and respectfully, I would not call the Steelers an ideal landing spot for fantasy either. I do think the Steelers are primed for wide receiver at 21, but right now, I don't think I'm necessarily called ideal. Sorry, Herms, but that's where I'm at with Omar Cooper. Thoughts there?
I think it makes a ton of sense, especially with the Addison component of it all, but also the fact that even, you know, that aside, losing Jalen Naylor in free agency going to the Las Vegas Raiders, they were going to have to address the pass catching core anyway. Like, you know, as soon as you mentioned that, I'm like, oh, dang, like they do really, like, it's not just the running back thing. It's really just the supporting cast in the entire offense that could use a facelift. So, dude, they actually would be a pretty fun team to see completely reshape their entire attack.
Yep. And the last one I think I would throw out there, again, ideal landing spots here, folks, because we gotta avoid the bad ones here, but Got to have a conversation about the Ravens. I think Casey Concepcion would be a great fit there at 14 for the Ravens. Probably a little higher than where we're expecting him to go. But for me, it's like they've tried out a lot of different things. It's really just Zay Flowers at this point. Rashad Bateman, believe he's coming to the end of his contract there. And who else is there? I mean, Devontae Walker, I guess. Like, Mark Andrews isn't getting any older in terms of pass catchers. And I think they could really do Lamar some good by adding another wide receiver body there next to Zay Flowers.
And especially because one of the fun things about Zay Flowers and Casey Concepcion is that they are guys that can attack from both the slot and being flexed out wide. So just the chess pieces that you could have moving around in this offense would be super sick. I love that one for sure.
Yeah, and then let's just, like, while we got the time, last one. I don't have any other wide receivers I want to talk about. I mean, Kenny and Sadiq, let's just throw a tight end out there. It's really tough for me to sit here and say, like, maybe it's an ideal landing spot. But, like, I do think that the Carolina Panthers are in need of a tight end. And I had him mocked at 19. I know it might be going against our ideal thing here. But, like, I can't find another one that makes a ton of sense. I think maybe a sneaky one could be, like, the Eagles at 23. As Goddard kind of ages, I'm like trying to find like what's ideal here and what's a good team. But I do think he could do some good for the Panthers. They need some pass catchers. I don't know if Bryce Young is the answer yet, but at the same time, I think they need something alongside Tet McMillan and, you know, maybe Jalen Coker here. And they definitely don't have a tight end on the roster. That's going to be a difference there. So just for a fun one to close things out here, we'll talk Kenny and Sadiq 19 to the Panthers.
No, I mean, you know, kind of to your point, if you want to find out if Bryce Young is the dude, you have to at least give him a shot with one more, you know, sort of marquee talent around him. No offense to Mr. Jalen Coker. I would love to see him get some big opportunities next year. But yeah, Tet and something else would be pretty sick. I think Kenny and Sadiq would be a lot of fun. I think that would be pretty cool. And honestly, a lot of these landing spots for a lot of these players would be phenomenal. But the only way we're going to find out if it comes true or not is by waiting until the NFL draft. It's going to be so great. We have a lot of stuff. It's going to happen over this weekend. And by the time we get to next week, the Crossing Routes podcast will be back to talk through all of it, get through the aftermath, share our thoughts. But until next time, listeners, enjoy the 2026 NFL draft. Have some fun with it. Go out there and attack your rookie drafts with confidence whenever they start. And we will always be around to help give you the analysis you need to take home the title. Check out all the content at FTNFantasy.com. But until next time, I am Herms. He is Tyler O. And we are saying goodbye.
Think about how far we come just to say goodbye. And staying up and